breakfast.
Okay. So I want to maybe make a meta point about the Parsha here. It'll hit on a few units in the Parsha. Yes. There are several mitzvot in the Parsha. Right, we talked about this, and this was, you know, maybe an idea that intrigued several people, and this possibility that the Torah presents things that are not necessarily an ideal, but are part of a process towards a more moral world in which the Torah may not endorse that which it actually permits. Now, that may sound radical when I said it by slavery, because, right, I have to prove that claim, but Chazal themselves say it by at least one of the units in this Parsha, which is... Eshet Yifator, which Chazal explicitly say is not an ideal. It's lo divrei Torah ela keneged yetzer hara, right? Which is a statement that this is not an ideal. It's just a reality, right? That people can't necessarily control them. But based on that statement, Chazal, if you could imagine a world in which soldiers could all control themselves, right? Then you would say, "Hey, that's great. That's exactly what right." And that's not even controversial. But what I want to do is just point out linguistically, right? There are certain times when it is obvious that the Torah is doing this, and certain times when it is not obvious. Why is it that it was so obvious to Chazal that Yifat Toar was one of those? Right, like that. I don't have to say anything radical. I can just say, yeah, Chazal weren't a fan of the Yifat Toar; they just allowed it. How do I know that? Right? How did Chazal know that? Right? How did that jump out at them? That this was a concession.
Right.
Yes. No. This is, look, Rishon you've heard over and over again, right? We've barely got past Rishon, right? But you've heard it over and again. Where did they get that from?
Well, I guess when it says, like, when you see a woman that is beautiful.
Okay, so.
So that means, like, it's like a video, like, if you don't see...
Well, you're on the right track, but think about it. It's pretty simple, right? But the next word is really the key. The chashak daba, right? Which is... Right, it's like... Right, which is a word with a negative connotation in Tanakh, right? It's overpowering, right? Yes, overpowering desire. Vilokach del chalisha, right? That type of, right, is not necessarily the best word, but there's actually one which is even more striking, which is, if you decide not to marry her, then you can't sell her. Why? Because you tortured her,
right?
You afflicted her,
right?
Meaning, Chazal figured this out, right? Certain times, the Torah actually telegraphs to you, this is not an ideal, right? How do you know? Well, you're allowed to do this, but you tortured her, right? Where do we get that language? Right, think about stories in Tanakh or in Chumash that might invoke that wonderful image that might let you know that Chazal that the Torah is less than thrilled of what is happening here. That's the same word, right? Of Shechem raping Dina. Right, this is not like right. The Torah is not being subtle here in its description of what you are doing here. Right, it's saying it's permitted, but it's telling you this is permitted rape. Right? And even if you're marrying her and you're waiting 30 days, it's not, right? There is a level of coercion that the Torah is not thrilled with. Right? Now, contrast this with two mitzvot later. Two mitzvot later, you get a mitzvah that many moderns have thought that Chazal had a moral problem with. But here I would contend, and I've seen non-Orthodox thinkers argue this as well, which actually gave me great pleasure to see this. There's a very long article by Rabbi Ethan Tucker, who is not an Orthodox rabbi, taking down Moshe Halbertal. Moshe Halbertal is a philosopher at Hebrew U and Harvard. Switches back and forth, where he wants to argue that Chazal, the reason they say that Ben Sorer Umoreh, Lohaya, right? Never happened, right? It never happened, and they come up with all these things that they can't speak, right? That the parents have to speak the same way, and it's only a 13 to 6 months, and they throw on all these conditions. It has to be kosher food, and it has to be right. All the different things that lead Chazal to say that it never happened. He says, "Oh, this is another instance where Chazal say." Right? Not quite the same way as Yifat Torah, right? Yifat Torah, they say the law exists, but declare it to be a concession, and therefore, ideally, would phase it out. And so Ramari said they went farther, and they phased it out. They said it never happened, it'll never happen, it's impossible, and they used their creativity because they thought it was immoral. Right? Right. Now, that is unequivocally wrong, right? That's not what Chazal said at all, right? That's not what Chazal said at all. Why, now, how do I know that, right? Why is it that I don't buy it here, right? But if I tell her, I say that's a concession, and I'm willing to say that the Torah is allowing something that's not really moral, right? And therefore we limit its application, right? We ideally get rid of it completely, right? And Ben Sura Mora, right? I understand that Chazal got rid of it, basically, practically, but why am I not willing to say that that's Chazal grappling with the morality of the law? Right? What? Oh, good. Because when the Gemara says it never happened, they say that because
it was very difficult.
Correct. They say that because Chazal do what Chazal do is they have a series of drashot. It's not the cause, right? I mean, what Halberstam claims is they wanted to get to it never happening because they thought it was immoral. They had a moral problem with it, so they make up all these drashot, right? But that's not likely. Also, what appears on that same amud in the Gemara?
A guy who went
the other two things that never happened, according to it, possibly, which is the Bayit HaMenuga, right? The house with Sarad and the Yerin Nidachat. So Yerin Nidachat maybe have a moral problem one. Bayit HaMenuga, right? Like, I don't understand. Do you have a moral problem? No, it's just that there were certain halachot that Chazal looked at it, and the way they understand the mitzvot is that it's very unlikely it ever happened, right? What else? Right? What else indicates to me that that's not what they're, right? And like I said, I great pleasure in being able to quote a non-Orthodox rabbi who is admittedly knows a tremendous amount of Torah and does have smicha on the rabbanut, right? So, but, you know, but in his attack of Halbertal, who Halbertal is one of those people that Gush guys like to love and hate at the same time because he went to Gush and then
right now he's
went. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, and whatever. I can't say everything. But anyways, so we love to love and hate him. He's a good philosopher, but he also, you know. What?
He went yeshivish,
yeah, exactly. Right, that's exactly what I was saying. What else? Right, besides the fact that on the same Amma there are other things they get rid of, right, in the same way, and it doesn't seem to be a moral reason at all. Right, what else? Right, well, first of all, there's no indication that this is immoral, right? Like, there isn't that same telegraphing like there is by Yifator. What else? Right? I'll give you another proof, right? Is what is it that people find immoral about Ben Sura Mora?
The killing.
Oh, you're killing a child because he, right? And you know what laws Chazal didn't get rid of? That if a 13-year-old slaps his father once, he gets put to death. Or if a 13-year-old curses his father, he gets put to death. Right? Chazal didn't say that about that. They just said about Ben Sura Mora. There are all types of laws that 13-year-old boys can do against their parents that Chazal are totally fine saying could happen. Right? Like, this isn't like a Chazal can't believe that you'd ever take a 13-year-old who's rebellious, right, and punish him with the death penalty. Just like the particular manifestation of it in Ben Sura Mora. And I think the best proof is that Chazal say, and this is right in the same line, it never happened. Then why is it written? What do they say? Drosh v'kabel schar, so that you will expound it and get reward, which you could take in a very brisker way, too, which is, oh, you'll learn Torah Lishma, right? But I argued a long time ago, and then I found Rabbi Minovich said the same thing, so I was very happy about that, was that the psukim say, why do you kill the Ben Sura Mora publicly?
So that they will
step. L'man yishmu v'yiros, that people will learn, right? Will learn from it. And I noted, isn't it interesting, right, that drosh v'gabel schar is essentially the same as l'man yishmu v'yiro? Right, I mean, what is the Torah really saying? Right, l'man yishmu v'yiro is, if you actually killed Ben Sura Mora, people would learn from the fact that you implemented the law. Right? Baruch Hashem.
Everything is kosher.
Amazing. But drosh v'gabel schar, right, is essentially Chazal saying you can accomplish the goal, the educational goal of killing Ben Sura Mora by learning what Ben Sura Mora is about and never having to implement it. Meaning, they're not alienating themselves from the morality of the law. They're saying practically it may never happen, but we actually identify with the values in it. We just don't think you actually need to implement it to gain that benefit. Right, and this is just something that I think is important, right? Because in Kitetze, right, you have, right, we've now discussed three, right? One where Chazal themselves explicitly say, we have a moral problem with this law, and we think that the Torah did too, right? But the Torah said it as a bidyeved, i.e., if a doar. We talked about slavery 2 days ago, where we said there's a tension, where on the one hand, right, one way of reading the law would be to say that this is indicating that there's a moral progression that's going on. That's, again, how Rabbi Runovich understands it. But on the other hand, there are certain tensions based on how we develop the halacha. And the question is this a case of the Torah allowing something as part of a moral progression, or something that Chazal are actually okay with? And then one which moderns tend to jump because their morality doesn't work with it, to say, oh, this is an immoral law that Chazal tried to alienate themselves from, which doesn't stand up to evidence at all. Right? And it seems to be that Chazal totally identified with it. They just, right, for all types of exegetical reasons, right, just thought it could never happen. But Daf could go out of their way to say, no, we do identify with this law. And I think it's just always, right, once you've recognized the possibility that every law is ideal, right, you do in different ways, right, you do need to develop the ability to discern, okay, but which laws do I apply that to, and when do I not allow you to do that? Because that's not right. That's not something you can do with integrity. And being able to distinguish and looking for textual cues that will hint, right, will tell you that this is the type of place where you look for that, and places where you don't, right, with honesty. Right, again, Joshua Gabalskar for me is like the Makom HaPatish. Says, no, Chazal actually want you to study it. But they don't want to alienate you from it. They just saying it'll never happen. And because it'll never happen, we want you to understand the law and, right, really, really imbibe its messages, right? That seems to be the opposite of that. I mean, being able to do that is really important because, right, it just happens to be that in Kitetze you get a lot of these laws, which become either in Chazal or in modern discourse, right, to take the one that I'm not dealing with, right, Amalek at the end of the parsha is one of those keys where everyone wants to figure out, right, how exactly do you deal with it, right? There are many of these mitzvot, and in each one you have to judge it legufe, right? Okay. Those are some of my thoughts, sort of methodologically, on approaching some of these issues, just because Kitetze sort of brings them all together in a fun way. Yeah.
So you mentioned that the idea behind Ben Sora Mora is that it's going to be like an example for everybody else. But if we say that a Ben Sora Mora is probably never going to happen.
As I was saying, Drosh, the Kabbal Schar. But they say, but learn it, right? Meaning, right? I mean, I have my personal opinions about what exactly you're learning from it. Right, but they're telling you neuro. Right, the way I read Drosh or Kabbal Schar is neuro. Drosh, right? Actually, like understand why this is a law, even if never implemented. Right, Kabbal Schar, you'll get reward because, right, you will learn the lessons from it even without implementing it. Right, which is okay.